This is where we're going. All right, we welcome everybody today. We're looking at a message entitled, I Saw the Lord, Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. And we're going to look at Isaiah's vision of God and how it relates to us. Because what I want you to understand, I'm going to show you where Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. But I want to ask you, how do you see God? Because the way you see God affects the way you see everything else. And we have only two viewpoints in this life, vertical and horizontal. And Paul exhorts us to gaze at the horizontal and focus on the vertical. And when we do that, we can keep our life in a victorious perspective. And we'll renew our strength. But if we get it backwards, the horizontal will wear you out. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to glean things from what these men saw. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train are the hems of his robes, fill the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and two covered his face, two his feet, two he did fly with. And one cried unto another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the glory of the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and that purifying fire laid upon my mouth, and he touched my lips. And praise God, he said, your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged and cleansed. I saw the Lord. Man, let's go to him. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Father, as I come to you today, I want to thank you that the blood of Jesus will purge me and cleanse me of my sin that I confessed to you in the closet, that I confessed to you moments ago in the back. And Father, I pray out loud in front of these folks that I do need to be cleansed by your blood and changed by your spirit. The areas of my flesh need to be mortified. As Paul said, mortify my flesh and change those areas into righteousness. Holy Spirit, I pray for an anointing. I pray for an anointing of your Spirit and a filling of your spirit to wash the feet of these people in humility and in meekness. For Father, you alone are important. You alone are who we need, and your word is the truth. So Holy Spirit, teach all these precious hearts in here today and on this website. Those that are listening, just bless us with a reception of your word and counsel. Conviction and love today. Holy Spirit, take over. In your name we pray. Amen. Two things stand out to Isaiah when he saw the Lord. We're going to look at two components of his vision and how they affect us. So first of all, notice what he says in verse 1. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. So, number one, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon a throne. So the first thing that stands out to Isaiah is he saw the Lord in all his power and authority and majesty. God is the King of the universe. And he is the sovereign rule of the universe. All power and all authority belongs to God. So you say, Brother Leo, if I see God in that way, why should that affect my life? Because I want you to understand something. God is so powerful. He is so all authoritative in everything that happens in the world that nothing can come into your life unless it passes through the sovereign, all authority hands of God. He can stop anything from happening, and he can make anything happen, and he can allow anything to happen. So anything that happens in your life, because I see the Lord high and lifted up in all power and all authority, that means to me in a personal way that anything I'm going through right now, God has allowed it to come into my life. And then you have a bifocal position that you need to take on that. Number one, you have to say unto the Lord, Lord, all authority is yours. This didn't catch you by accident. This didn't, should, it might have caught me by surprise, but you let it come into my life. You let these circumstances arise. So, Lord, I'm confessing that. This thing's in my life because you've allowed it to come here. Number one, Lord, show me how I can glorify you in this. And number two, Lord, show me what you're trying to accomplish in this for my spiritual growth and my family. So, puts everything in perspective. Now you say, Brother Lil, why is that so important? Because I don't know about you folks, but most folks, when something comes into their life that's bad, we don't pray, Lord, let me glorify you in this. And secondly, Lord, teach me what I need to learn in this. It'll help me grow and bless my family. No, we pray two other things. Number one, Lord, take it away. Number two, God, make it better. Now, that ain't biblical. That's not the response. Oh, God, make it better. You know, that's where I've been reading Hebrews 6, studying it again. That's where, in Hebrews 5, that's where the Hebrew writer says, you know, you folks are babes in Christ. You ought to be eating meat and you're drinking milk and you have no discernment, no judgment, no understanding. So, number one, I see the Lord high lifted up, full of authority and power. So that means anything happening to any one of y'all today, whether it's chemo, whether it's a disease, whether it's a tough situation at work, whether it's something going on with your children, whether you're facing an attack of evil or one's coming up or whatever, the bottom line is God has allowed this to come into your life. And you can glorify Him in it, which is what He's called you to do. And you can grow in it, which is what He's called you to do. And as a result of that, God's going to use you to be a blessing to others. So grab hold of that. Grab hold of that. You know, I can minister to folks that have faced some tough things because I've been through some tough things. And you can too. So here we go. Now what's the second thing that he knows? Look at what it says. He was sitting upon a throne high lifted up, and the hems of his robes fill the temple. Now I want you to keep your hand in Isaiah 6 because you're coming right back and jump back to Psalm 104. What was it that Isaiah saw and he is implying to us here? What was emanating from the robes of his garments? What are you going to see when you enter into heaven? Hopefully picking and grinning like we said earlier. God's going to know the Baptists and the Methodists when they enter into the kingdom. We're going to walk in there, you know. 11 o'clock when you're getting started. All right, here we go. Psalm 104, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. So, what did Isaiah say? Isaiah said, I saw the Lord clothed with honor and majesty, and his robes, the hems of his robes, were filling the throne room with what? Who covers thyself with light as with a garment, and who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who covers himself with the purity of light. So what did Isaiah see, Cameron? He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he's sitting on this throne, and the seraphim and the angels are fluttering all around him, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And the emanation of this purity and the brightness of the light of the Lord is flowing all over everywhere. And it's going to be the most extreme and powerful light that we have ever seen. And so light represents righteousness, holiness, and absolute purity. So Isaiah sees God in all of His majesty, power, and authority. And then he sees the Lord in all of His purity and righteousness and holiness. And you say, okay, Brother Leo, how should that affect me? Well, the same way it affected Isaiah. And in Isaiah 6, verse 5, Isaiah says this, "Then said I, woe is me, because I'm a sinful guy that lives in a sinful world and has sinful thoughts and sinful lips." When you see God the way you ought to see Him, you'll see yourself for who you are. And man, that changes everything, because you know what that does? That keeps you humble. You know what that does? It keeps you from judging others. You know what that does? It keeps you serious about the own sin in your life that's holding you back from all the blessings of God. So it's very, very important. We see the Lord as the way He is. And Isaiah did. And it affects the way we see everything else. Number one, it affects the way we see ourselves. And it affects the way we see our circumstances. Nothing in your life did not get there without passing through the sovereign hands of God. And my God is holy, and I am not. And I'm going to keep working and seeking and praying and confessing and repenting and asking for godly sorrow. Because there is much more blessing He wants to send into my life. Much more righteousness He wants me to partake of. And so, it keeps us with the right perspective concerning ourselves. Now, let me show you another theme here when we see the Lord. Go with me to Psalm 147. How am I to see God? In Psalm 147, we're going to start to explore a dichotomy or a paradox concerning God. And it's hard for us to comprehend, and a lot of people miss this. They have one part of it, not the other. But you got to have both sides. Look at what it says, Psalm 147, verse 1. "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord does build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel." Now I'm going to stop right there. You're going to see two themes throughout this psalm. Number one, you're going to see the enormity and the power and the sovereignty of our Creator God. And number two, you're going to see the sensitivity and the concern God has for you, the individual. So we got this enormous God and all this power, King of the universe. And yet, He cares for us. So it's a dichotomy. You work for IBM. You work there your whole life. You'll never meet the president of the company. So a lot of times we can't comprehend somebody in an enormous position, but yet He still calls us by name. So understand what's being said here. He gathers all the outcast of Israel. He heals those that have broken hearts. And He binds up their wounds personally. Now here we go. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. Now, I want you to understand. He has hung an innumerable amount of stars in the universe. Man, with all of his technology, has still not counted all the stars in the universe. And we're still finding more as the universe expands and expands. We keep going and we keep going. He can count. He has numbered all the stars in the universe. That shows God's enormity. Secondly, He's numbered every hair on my head. That shows His individual sensitivity. So this enormous God has numbered the stars. Look at what it says, verse 5. Great is our Lord, of great power, and his understanding is infinite. All right, stop that. What's that tell us about God? That God has all wisdom, he has all counsel, and he has all understanding. So, what does that tell me about myself? I'm limited. I need not lean on my own understanding. Amen. The ways of God are not my ways. I need to trust him in his ways. I need to seek his wisdom in his ways. The timing of God is not my timing. So what does it teach me about myself to have this great understanding of God? Instead of fighting God, I'll rest in God. His understanding is infinite, mine is not. He sees the end from the beginning. I don't even see the forest for the trees. Now, look at what it says. Back to prayer. He lifts up the meek. He will cast the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto the harp. Now here we go to the enormity. He covers the heaven with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass to grow upon the mountains. But yet, he'll reach down and give to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. We need a divinely directive perspective of our God and our life. You need to see God high lifted up as creator, as sovereign, as king, as power. And you need to see God reaching down. Is your provider, your healer, your savior, the one who feeds you and takes care of every need you have. So you see him high lifted up and you see him reaching down. You see him creating the mountains, you see him feeding the bluebird. So you see him personally and intimately involved in every area of your life, but yet he is the mighty and the majestic and the sovereign and the powerful God. Now, a moment ago I told you a lot of people mess this up. Because they only have the concept of God somewhere way off in the universe sitting on a throne. And you've missed the whole boat. Because that's not what Isaiah saw. And that's not what anyone else sees. So, he is the king of the universe, yet he is individual, he is personal, he has compassion, mercy, help, and involvement. And sensitivity in your life and in every area of it. And that changes you, man. That changes you. What I was praying about a couple of weeks ago, he was right in there praying with me. I said, Lord, you know the motives. I said, you know the hearts. You know what's going to happen if it happens. And you're going to have to protect our family. You're going to have to cover our family. But you know, but then I said, Lord, I'm no better than anybody else. And the bottom line is, you knew the motives at Calvary. You knew the motives with the Sanhedrin. You let your own son have to face the onslaught of evil. Sometimes we too will have to face the onslaught of evil. But Lord, give me an understanding so we can endure this thing victorious. Yeah. So I started preparing myself in April for something that could have come in the middle of July. May come in September and October. But I'm going to try to be prepared. And that's what we have to do. God will prepare us as we go through these things. Now, go with me with this theme to Jeremiah 32. And you know the beautiful thing. Jeremy, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. You know, I'm telling y'all stuff you already know. But the bottom line is, we need our vision of God to be refreshed. We need our vision of God to be refreshed. You know, my God is all powerful, all knowing, all loving, all sufficient. Because I'm going to show you this penny here in a moment. It's going to blow your mind. Now, the Wednesday night crowd got to see it. But I'm going to show you. Jeremiah 32, this is the same theme, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, it's a praise chorus. Behold, You have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and by your stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. We were going through the situation. I was on the phone back and forth. You know, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. We're hearing this. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Man saying it's going to happen. People are meeting with us, telling us it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I kept praying, Lord, I know you can stop evil. If it's your will, stop this. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. And sometimes that's the prayer. You get that prayer answer. Amen. And man, we were joy. I mean, I started crying when I got the word. Yeah. You know, thank you, Jesus. Because, yeah. I mean, sometimes you're in one firestorm and here you're just trying to endure that one and you're praying to avoid the next. And the bottom line, it's just all evil. And we got to get used to it, man. Because, you know, we're headed to heaven where Christianity is a big deal. But here on earth, it's not. You know, this world is against us. Amen. And if you don't think Satan's going to get folks to come against you, you know, it's best just be on the sideline. Because if you're trying to do something for God, he's going to oppose you. So you got to understand. And you count it all joy, the scripture says. But man, it can wear you out if you don't grab this stuff and start feeding on it. Now, look at what he says. Verse 18. All right, let me go verse 17. He made heaven and earth by his great power. Nothing is too hard. Now, that's the enormity of God. Now look at the personal, individual aspect. Verse 18. You show loving kindness unto thousands. Now, your great arm that has made the universe, you reach down with that same great arm and show loving kindness, compassion, and mercy. You also reach down in judgment. You recompense iniquity, is what he says there. You recompense iniquity. But look at what he says in verse 19. Verse 19. I'm leaving out all kind of good stuff. Verse 18, the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Verse 19, great in counsel and mighty in work. Here's the enormity of God. For thine eyes are open unto all the ways of every individual on earth to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing. So you've got the enormous God who is involved in looking at everybody's life. And I claim that a lot. I'll say, Lord, you know the motives on this side, and you know the motives on that side. You know the hearts that are here, and you know the hearts that are there. And I'll say, Lord, judge righteously. Go ahead and judge righteously. Now, if you're somewhere and your heart's not right, and you've got selfish, prideful, carnal motives, you don't want to pray that prayer. You want to get along with God and get your heart right, and then pray the prayer.
Amen.
But Lord, you know, you see everybody involved in this deal. You know, in any situation that's going on in your life, God sees it all as individuals. And so you've got to grasp this and you've got to understand it. Look at what he says in verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So, Brother Leo, why is it important that I know that? Because, my friend, that's what invigorates your prayer life. That's what motivates it. That's what fires the passion into it. I believe that with all my heart. I'm never going to start praying for miracles of healings. I'm never going to stop praying for hearts to be changed. Not a little bit, but total. Now, I'm never going to stop praying for deliverances. Not a little bit, but totally absolute. The worst person that ever lived on the face of Wayne County, I believe God can make him the most powerful preacher that ever lived. And that's how you got to pray.
Yes,
amen. And that's how you grab hold of God. You know, these little pea nanny Mickey Mouse, you know, I mean, it's pathetic. We sound like some little squealing mouse. We ought to roar like a lion when we're in that prayer closet. Grabbing hold of the one that created the universe.
Yes.
That's how I pray too. You know, Jesus, please. No, you are the one who created the universe, Lord. I am grabbing you to bring you into this situation. You know, Lord Jesus, I've been carrying this burden long enough. You're the one who created the universe. Lord, I'm giving this thing over. You take it off of me by your power. He's asking you that question right now. Oh, Lord God, you made the heavens and the earth. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So, how do you see God? It affects the way you see everything else. Now, I'm going to close out with one other little section here. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is the everything else. Now I'm going to read to you some principles. And I realize, you know, that it's not good when a lot of your battles and the things that go in your life or the things that have gone on in your life, you know, a lot of folks just get to ask God to forgive them and they move on. Some folks have lives where it ends up on the 6 o'clock news every now and then. And that totally complicates things, and it can make something more enormous in your own eyes. Because on a horizontal level it is. You know, if everything you've ever done in life was going to be on the 6 o'clock news next week, I don't think any of us would be happy. But sometimes you're going to deal with things like that in life. But you're going to see it's still about this size. And I'm going to show you why. But we got to view God in the correct way. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says this: "For which cause we faint not," we don't quit. "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed every day. For our light affliction in this world, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Let me define what Paul's talking about there. The light affliction he's talking about or speaking about that's lasting for a moment is every trial, tribulation, or storm he's facing in this particular life. The greatest crisis, the greatest tragedy, the greatest disease, he calls them light, momentary afflictions. Why? Because he has the correct view of God. The correct perception of God and eternity. So all you got to do is on a consistent basis keep building yourself up with the correct perception concerning your God and eternity. And the byproduct of that will keep everything else in line. Let me show you. Now, look at what he says in verse 18. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I need to give you that word, "look not at." In the Greek, it is skopeo, S-K-O-P-E-O. The word we get, S-C-O-P-E, not the mouthwash, but what you put on a rifle. Back in the day when I hunted, I usually used a 410 to hunt squirrel and rabbit. But occasionally I would use a scope on a 22. And I would work very hard to get that scope lined up. And I did this with a 410. I was taught never shoot a squirrel in the body, because it's not that much meat and you don't want to mess it up. So always shoot a squirrel when he stops, when he's standing still, try to hit him in the head. And that's how we were raised to hunt squirrel in the low country. And so anyway, when I'd hunt with a 22, I'd have that scope lined up. And a lot of times, if the squirrel's sitting there and he doesn't know you're looking at him, You could lay that scope right on his nose. I mean, the crosshairs on the nose. It would bring it in right on his nose. And then I would nudge that scope right inside the nose and squeeze off that trigger. I mean, you could see the hairs on that squirrel. This word means to look at doesn't give it justice. It means to intensely focus upon, to give much attention to. Now, I'm not finished on that one. To give much attention to the point of much contemplation on. To give much attention to the point of much contemplation on. You got a situation in your life right now? Well, your mind's on it all the time. I go to bed, my mind's on this thing. I get up in the morning, my mind's on this thing. I go to lunch, and my mind's on this thing. That's what scopio means. You're giving so much focus to something, your mind's on it all the time. It's contemplation. You know, it's like, I got to get my taxes done. All right, I got to get my, you put off the tie. Got to get them done. That's what the word scopio means. Now, look at what he says. Do not put your scopio on the horizontal, but put your intense focus on the vertical. Now, Paul says it this way. Gaze at the things that are around you because they're part of our lives. We got to look at it. Gaze at them, but keep your divine focus or keep your priority focus on the things of God. I got a problem. God's got the power to take care of it. I got a situation. God's got the wisdom to give me the situation, you know, to get me through it and the counsel. You know, don't just sit there looking at the circumstances and leaving God out. We allow the things of this world to loom larger than the things of eternity. They blot out our vision of God. Let me repeat that. When you allow the things of the world to loom larger than the things of eternity, they can blot out the things of God. So you want it going opposite of that. You want the things of God overruling the things of the world. So you're going to have the same problems tomorrow you probably got today. But instead of waking up tomorrow and saying, oh Lord, here we go, we need help. Wake up tomorrow and say, Lord, you are the creator of the universe. You are the king of the world. All power and authority belongs unto you. There is nothing that is in my life today that you've not allowed to come into my life today. I am claiming and I am affirming you're all powerful. You're all wise. You are a mighty God. You love me. You love my family. And you've got an answer to this situation. Pray that before you start anything else. And keep doing it. And it'll become part of your mindset. Because when we allow the things of the world to overwhelm us, in our gaze, they blot out God. Now, let me give you a fact about the sun. We don't see it much here in Middle Tennessee, but it's yellow. The sun is 109 times larger in diameter than the earth. Earth's pretty big. Sun's 109 times larger. The volume of the sun, okay, is so great that you could fit 1,300,000 planet Earths within the volume of the sun. Now, is that not incredible? I want you to think about the sun being God. This is your problem. This is the biggest problem in your life right now. Now, if the sun were right here and I closed my right eye, I can take this problem and I can totally blot out my vision of the sun. And And that's what you and I do. A lot of times, we allow our situations and our problems to blot out our vision of God. And what we need to do is refresh our vision. Okay, Lord, it's back. Here's something else coming in the mail. Here comes another flock. Here comes another ad on the TV. Here comes another account. But God, you are in control. You are good. You are powerful. Lord Jesus, we're just going to trust you. We're going to weather the storm. Lord, show me how I can glorify you in this. Lord, show me what you're trying to teach me in this. Lord Jesus, you have allowed this to come into my life. It is your vision of God that is going to affect how you look at everything else. I want to close with a prayer. This is out of that devotion I read that Monday. You know, and I praise God for the intensity of prayer. And I'll be honest with you, I was thinking about this yesterday. There are going to be folks listening and folks in life that cannot relate to what I'm teaching. Because I'm not sure. I think you got to have some really, really tough times in life to where you're really going to seek. I just don't think we wake up in the mornings and seek. You know, you can develop that discipline and you need to. And I don't want anybody to have to go through stuff to get to this point where they learn, you know, where they're grabbing devotionals and Bible studies and saying, okay, Lord, I'm fixing, I got to eat T-bone steaks here and get the strength. But praise God for those things. This is the prayer. It says this, Lord Jesus, give me a refreshed vision of yourself. Fill my heart and mind with an understanding of your power and your love and your glory. Isn't that a great prayer? Amen. But then he says this, forgive me for when I focus more on what is going on around me than who is above me. See, you got to look at what's going on around you, but don't take your eyes off on who is above you. Don't take your eyes off of what his plan is, how powerful he is. Okay, Lord, you've allowed this to come into my life, but you got a plan. Sometimes God stops us in a dramatic fashion. We had a kid at South Carolina, Marcus Lattimore. He is going to be the first pick in the draft. He's playing you guys at UT and absolutely destroys his knee. Loses millions in the NFL. He is now a coach and a chaplain at the University of South Carolina. God didn't want him out there running on those NFL fields. And you wouldn't believe the players that tweet about what an impact he is in their lives. Dramatically, he was stopped from going to the NFL to win souls for Jesus. God is in control. And that's what you've got, that's what you and I have got to learn. You got to, hey, I'm going to tell you something. God is the sun, S-U-N, in this illustration, and this is your problem. You just don't want it up here. You know, you want it sitting down there, and you want to be looking up here and allowing the Lord to be who, just let him be who he is. Don't make him something he's not. But just allow him to be who he is in your life today. Let's go to Jesus in prayer. Father, we thank you. I saw the Lord, Isaiah said. He saw you high and lifted up. He saw you, Lord Jesus, in all your purity. Jeremiah spoke about all your wisdom and all your counsel. And Father, even though you have hung all the stars and numbered them, you also number the hairs on our head. And you love us. You've got a plan. And Father, for Patty and I, we don't worry about ourselves much. But boy, when it comes to your baby boy, whether they're 5 or 15 or 30, we worry about our children. But Lord Jesus always reminds us, you love our children even more than we do. Father, let us see you for who you are. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of our loved ones. And as Ken said, even in the lives of our enemies. Father, you love those folks. You want them saved and changed. You want us who are saved to still be changed. Father, when we see you better for who you are, we see ourselves and others and our lives better in a perspective for what they are. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Clyde to close us out with a word of prayer.